Well, I'm going to tell you something that's not going to be very surprising at all. This morning, before I came to church, I was at home. I know, it's wow. Like you, I was shoveling and looking at my watch, wondering if I was going to get here on time. And I imagine that most of you were at home and that some of you were also shoveling. We woke up. We got ready for the day. We enjoyed breakfast, maybe a quick breakfast because we had to get out and shovel. And we spent some time with our loved ones. And hopefully that time was enjoyable and time well spent. But perhaps for some of us it was hectic trying to get kids ready for church and out the door. Or we were running late for some other reason, probably the snow. But we who are here are here. Either way, it was time we spent alone from others outside of our immediate family. And now, of course, we're here, we're at church, and we've gathered together to worship God, to offer praise and glory to our Creator. And we don't worship alone. Rather, we gather together as a larger group. We've gone from being alone to being together. And after worship, after we enjoy a lunch together, we'll travel back home to other tasks during the day, which will probably include shoveling. But we see, if you look in Mark's gospel, a similar progression in that text. It starts out with Jesus, and he's with Simon, Andrew, James, and John. They're at Simon and Andrew's house. It's a small, intimate gathering. And while they're there, Jesus heals Simon's mother-in-law. And later that day, others are brought to Jesus to heal. And then the next morning, we find Jesus alone, praying. And afterwards, he goes out and he preaches the word to those he encounters. We find a progression of Jesus in a private space and then moving to a public one. And then he goes back to a private space and back out into a public one. First with Simon's family, then healing everyone, then alone in a deserted place, and then proclaiming the message to everyone. Now this progression isn't startling. It isn't breathtaking or earth-shattering. In fact, it mimics much of our own lives, very much as our morning has been. We come together to worship, and we do the work of the church. And then we take time to renew ourselves and gather energy to repeat the process. And discipleship is very much a process of preparing ourselves to go out into the world. As followers of Christ, we are called to go out into the world for the betterment of the world, which God has created. And as Presbyterians, what is our capacity then to do that good in the world? And we see some of the ways that we're able to impact our own community with the soup kitchen and other outreach programs. But on a larger scale, one of the ways that we're able to do this is through Presbyterian World Service and Development. And as I mentioned with the children this morning, is Presbyterian World Service and Development Sunday. It's a Sunday that the Presbyterian Church in Canada marks and encourages congregations to focus on the work of this agency of the Presbyterian Church in Canada. PWS&D is at work in 9 countries around the globe. They respond to emergencies around the world by providing immediate assistance in the form of food, shelter, and medical attention. They also provide for the emotional and long-term rehabilitation for those who have been affected by such emergencies. And much of this assistance is done in partnership with other organizations throughout the world. And sometimes the aid is on a large and a grand scale, dealing with large tragedies, and there'll be special appeals. And other times, it is a small investment loans that are made to just individuals, entrepreneurs. One such case like this happened in Malawi. A woman by the name of Sarah was loaned $5. And she invested that money in a small retail business, which earned her two additional dollars. And she used that very small profit to purchase new dishes for her family to eat off of, which increased the hygiene and the health of her family. A small investment improved the health of one family. And staff from Presbyterian World Service and Development visit with partner agencies, and they view and see these stories firsthand. Those staff members work on behalf of all Presbyterians to go out into the world and to do good work and to ensure that the money is being used appropriately. And it's a call to service that we enable through our giving and our support of Presbyterian World Service and Development. And over the past few years, we have supported PWS&D by over $10,000 each year. And at the annual meeting this year, we'll see what our last handful of years have been and how much we contributed in 2017. But make no mistake, these donations make a difference in the world. As followers of Christ, we are called. And at its heart, the story from Mark's gospel this morning is also a call story. Many people look at the healing of Simon's mother-in-law and her actions after being healed. They view her acts of service, of serving, waiting upon the good news, translates it as, of waiting upon Jesus, Simon, Andrew, and the others, as an argument towards the place of women in the church. I'm not joking, that's an interpretation on this passage. But I read in this story of Simon's mother-in-law, and regrettably we never get her name, I read it as a call to discipleship. Her response to her healing, her response to discipleship is to serve the one who came, to serve Jesus. And she is immediate and able to do that. Her serving Jesus and the others is an outward expression of her discipleship. As for Jesus, he doesn't heal to prove his divinity. He doesn't heal for the sake of healing or to confirm God's activities in the world. Jesus heals for the sake of God's kingdom. And we also are part of God's kingdom. We play a role in God's kingdom. What we see in Simon's mother-in-law is a foreshadowing of how Jesus will describe and live out his own ministry. And the ministry of Jesus is a life of service to others. And with rare times, Jesus will take moments aside to rest and renew himself. But all else that he does is in service to others. As we read later in Mark's gospel in chapter 10, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And what we also see in our story today from Mark is a resurrection story. Simon's mother-in-law is resurrected in this story. She is ill and she receives healing and then rises. Professor Cynthia Briggs Kittredge writes that when the repair of the bonds of the family is a dimension of resurrection. And Simon's mother-in-law, her response then is to serve, just as Jesus himself served, and will continue to serve others until he himself is crucified and resurrected. We are called, just as Simon's mother-in-law was called. And we serve in a variety of ways. We do the work of God's kingdom through multiple channels. And PWS&D is just one of those channels. And I would encourage you to learn more about the work that PWS indeed does, either by visiting their website or there's information on the bulletin board outside of my study. Make no mistake, it is God's work that we do. It is on God's behalf that we do this work, that we are called to do this work. As the prophet Isaiah said, as we heard this morning, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning?" We do this work on God's behalf, and I'm thankful for the many contributions that this congregation has made towards Presbyterian World Service and development. Thanks be to God. Amen.